All right, guys, so this is being recorded. This is Two Old Farts Talk Sci-Fi. This is our live robot episode. I am David Klink.
I'm Troy Harkin. And Dave, are you ready to open the door for the party?
Let's do it.
All right, here we go. Let's see who's here.
Why don't we introduce some people, Troy? We got Jerome Stewart, who we just recorded a episode on religion with.
Hey there. You have a nice party. I love the hors d'oeuvres.
Oh, excellent. Just the cheese tray I would be a little wary of. Just maybe give that a pass.
How long has that been there?
The Borson, it's been there probably since our Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's like your Arbor Day.
Yeah, we call them the hors d'oeuvres of magnitude. But sorry, that was a attempt. We got Ira, we got Janet, we got Maya, Lisa, and I'm not sure if and you were introducing Dan.
I was introducing Dan Miwa, who has his first novel, Rhett, out right now. And I should have said Rhett now, I guess, if I wanted to be cute, right, Dan? Yeah, we've known each other for quite a long time.
Yeah, Troy, we go back, like 15 years now, I would say?
At least.
We've worked together. We've jammed together.
Yeah.
We've had some long conversations on... what, sci-fi, novels, movies?
Everything. Yeah, especially Spaceballs, which you'll be coming back to join us for for the May 4th show. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah. Awesome. Hello, everyone. Nice to meet you all.
Yeah, that was such a fluke when we worked out our schedule. We're taking January off, starting up for two shows in February, and so on. And when it just worked out, just happened that our 14th episode of the season falls on May 4th. And we thought, we've got to have a Star Wars one episode on that. And that's where Troy said Dan should join us for Spaceballs. So I think we look forward to that.
Yeah, space. So I was talking to Troy about this. We went out for dinner when? Back in August, I think it was, Troy?
It was before we had to be multi-layered to be outside. So, yeah, it was quite a while ago.
And Spaceballs, I mean, like, what a classic comedy, great spoof of, like, Star Wars. So I think it's very fitting that it falls on May the 4th. But that movie really kind of... I watched that movie before I watched Star Wars, right? So my parents loved it. And so when I was watching Star Wars, yeah, I thought it was a spoof on Spaceballs. When I was young, I was like maybe like 8 or 9, and I'm like, oh, what's a Star Wars movie? It's so much like Spaceballs.
Yeah. So somebody should let these people know, get a lawsuit going.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Janet, glad you're with us as always.
Well, thank you.
David, do you want to continue with intros or whatever?
Well, it looks like we've got Stephen Humphrey who will be joining us, and he will be a guest looking at Neuromancer, which I think is going to probably drop in either February or March. We're working out the season. So Neuromancer is one of Stephen's favorite novels. So, and we always like our guests to be really super excited about the topic that we will be talking to them about.
Yeah, and Maya, we had a great show with you too, and I'm just always impressed that you dropped a P-Funk reference. So that made my night. Yeah.
Stephen, I think you were muted before when you were maybe trying to say something. I'm not sure.
Oh yeah, I'm unmuted now. Yeah, make my funk the P-Funk for sure.
Yeah. 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 Keep that stuff uncut.
You got to wear your sunglasses to be cool, right?
Yeah. Anyway. Oh, now I want my Bootsy Collins star sunglasses.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we have up is that Troy and I are going to share what we think are our favorite 10 robots.
Did I get introduced?
Oh.
What am I, the best man at your wedding?
For you to introduce Rob, actually.
The best man at your wedding does not get introduced?
Oh.
So Robert J. Sawyer is here, and he's been a guest, I think, about 4 or 5 times. It's been a great run, and we're looking forward to more next season. I think we're looking at doing a special on Prisoners of Gravity because its 35th anniversary is coming up in August, and that's when our fifth season, Troy? So our sixth season might start with that. And next season, we're looking at doing shows based on people's favorite TV shows from the past. And with Rob, that would probably be either Star Trek Classic and possibly even the Night Stalker. Like, I'm not sure what we... It's likely probably going to be Star Trek, but we can talk about that. But that's what next season is going to be, is just people's favorite shows.
Well, if Rob takes Star Trek, I would be delighted to volunteer for Night Stalker.
Well, yeah.
It's a deal, Ira.
I think we also deal. Mentioned you for that, Ira. I also, if we make it through, if David and I don't kill one another, and if we make it past either the robot uprising, the singularity, then I want to do a show with Robert as well on the four other Planet of the Apes films, if you're willing, Robert. But,
100%.
That needs to happen as well. Okay. And so we've got Peter Jute as well. Peter, who I know from just supporting my readings and whatnot, my readings, my writings, my arithmetic. And Lisa, are you, maybe David needs to introduce you, and welcome to this podcast too.
Well, I think Peter wanted to say something. He just unmuted himself.
Sorry, Peter.
I just wanted to say hi.
Hey.
Enjoy your book.
Thanks. And thanks for making it for this. It's a little sort of cyber party.
I can count myself as an author too if you include math books.
You can do that. You can do it.
On a robot show, it definitely counts.
Yep.
Yeah, and Lisa's here and Sandra's here, and Lisa is a long-standing fan of Doctor Who and has recently come back from Chicago TARDIS, which is a huge convention with you know, hundreds and maybe over, you know, 700,000-800,000 people in Chicago. Did you want to talk about that just quickly, Lisa?
Yeah. So it was about, I think it was about 8 or can't remember if it got to be 1,000 people this year, but it's always great. They had 3 doctors this year and a whole bunch of companions. But yeah, I go back way back with, Doctor Who, and a one-time fanzine editor of the Doctor Who Information Network, but that was in the early 90s. But yeah, I love science fiction, Doctor Who, Star Trek as well. I remember watching that in repeats in the early 70s with my dad and asking him what a frontier was at the beginning credits, and he explained it quite well. And Star Wars as well. Erwin's and my son, who's 22 now, he was born on May the 4th.
Oh, there we go.
So. And Sandra's here. Sandra's, I believe, one of our, I sort of misspoke at the beginning of our religion episode, mentioning how Ira is the only person who's been a guest on all 5 seasons and has been on 5 separate episodes. But with Sandra, I think you actually, when I finally went back and looked, I think you've been on 5 episodes. I think, Rob, you've been on 4 or 5. So it's, we don't have a jacket yet
for people. We need a members only jacket for sure. Maybe something that has giant robots on it. I feel like that would be perfect. You know, little nice blazer with skinny lapels and robots.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We need that.
Yeah, and Sandra, did you want to just say, you've been on a few of our shows. I think there was Wicker Man 1 and...
Yeah, Wicker Man and...
Ray Bradbury.
Bradbury and The Thing.
Yes.
What else? I can't remember now.
At least...
I turn up like a bad penny fairly regularly.
Yeah. I tend to go to those shows, though. I listen repeatedly to most shows, but the ones with you, I think I've listened to the most.
I'm your scarecrow.
Yeah. Well, no, I can't say that. but it's a good time.
Now someone's joined us, and I'm not sure if I know him, or maybe my mind is blanking, but Chris is here. Chris Long, did you want to say something, sir?
How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for having us. I'm glad to be here. You guys might know my name as Scott Hallsmith. That's the name. That's the profile I used on Facebook primarily for the Star Trek memes and stuff, and the groups I'm in for that stuff, because my primary Chris Long account got zucked, I don't know, a year ago or something, for putting too many memes in my own page too quickly. And then that started a cascade of terror, and it was all over. So,
well, we will be through the show, which also acts as our sort of year-end party, because this is our last episode of 2023. We're looking at robots in general, having a lot of loose robot discussion. But David will be giving us a little bit of trivia that we need to wrestle with. And he and I will also be going over our top 10 favorite robots of all time. So, yeah, we'll be doing those two at a time as the evening wears on. And as we get towards the end, we'll be looking for your favorite robots. So please, yeah, sort of ponder that.
Well, should we start with 10 and 9 right now?
Sure, let's do that. And you can, you know, let us know what egregious ones we have. Now, we realize, like all things, we can't cover everything. But so once we get to the end, we will also have sort of an honorable mentions list. Okay, are you ready, David? You want to do 10 and 9?
Yeah, let's do 10 and 9. What do you got for 10?
What do I have? Okay, so after pondering, I started my list with L337 from Solo, A Star Wars Story from 2018, voiced by Phoebe Waller-Bridge. I loved everything about that character, that it's put upon. Even her gait reflects hardship, and she's trying to organize the other aliens, which really goes back to the origins of robots in RUR, which is, you know, forced labor. So I thought that was a good starting point for me, number 10. Do you want me to do 9 as well, or do you want to do your 10? Okay. This one, because it's our show, Dave, we can cheat. So my number 9 is sort of an amalgam of the various robots on the $6 Million Man and Bionic Woman franchises. So in particular, John Saxon's robot version and the Fembots from the Bionic Woman. The Fembots were even brought into the Austin Powers universe. They were so, you know, popular. And I found out doing this, most of you I'm sure do know this, but that Fembots are now more politically correctly referred to as Gynoids? Yeah, gynoids. So was everybody else familiar with that, or is that a new thing to you?
Yeah. I've never heard it.
Okay, yeah. Ira, you got that? Okay, good. I was hoping I just didn't hit a bad
link. No, but that's great.
Yeah. So that's my 10 and 9.
Okay, so my 10 is, I'm not sure, I think it's just referred to as the robot, but Tom Baker, Doctor Who, there was the robot. It was actually called Robot as the first serial of the 12th season in Doctor Who, ran from December 28th, 74 to January 18th. It's a 4-part series. Basically, it was what interesting was that it introduces Tom Baker as Doctor Who, and the robot for some reason gets large, and then the doctor has to throw something on it to get it small again. But almost reminded me of a certain episode of Lost in Space, where the robot becomes large and they have to crawl inside it to try to save it or to try to fix it. And number 9, I had Rami from Andromeda. And that's sort of my Fembot version of my robot list would be Rami, who I found quite cute. Now, I have no idea how to even say the actress's name. Lexan is D-O-I-G-G. I don't know if it's Doig or Doige or whatever. I've never looked that up. I'm not sure if anyone here knows.
And does anybody have any thoughts on the 4 that we've mentioned so far?
I'm just kind of thrilled that you mentioned the robot episode of Doctor Who, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's a pretty good episode, that episode. Although
you know, it's such a clunky robot. It's so top heavy, but it is kind of cool. I was pleased to see the robots from the $6 million man getting their due. John Saxon plays the robot avatar of Major Frank Sloan. Sorry, Major Fred Sloan, as created by Chester Dolenz. And it's really, you know, in terms of bionic showdowns, bionic fights between Steve and that robot. It's a first season episode called Day of the Robot. And certainly bears watching today.
Yeah, I would say that now as kids, you know, we didn't have water coolers, but we had the schoolyard at recess. And that episode, Robert, was definitely the episode that galvanized us all as $6 Million Man fans.
Now, yeah, not to be too pedantic, but I assume that you are, when you say robots, you're talking about any sort of embodied artificial intelligence, because strictly speaking, some of those are androids, right? Mm-hmm. The difference being androids have humanoid bodies, whereas robots can have bodies of any shape or size.
Well, right? Not to be picky-oon to your pedantic, but I would say android is a subset of robot. Yeah. An artificial intelligence embodied in a human-shaped robot body is an android.
And that is basically the definition that David and I sort of discussed prior to with robot is the sort of the master category and other things falling under it. Although we don't include cyborgs. Yeah,
we consider like cybernetic organisms that are people that are sort of part human being and part robot and some amalgam like the Borg in Star Trek and many other. $6 Million Man is a perfect example. He's a cyborg, a cybernetic organism. We don't consider that as far our definition a robot or an android because we want it to be all machine and not have a and then that makes a question about a Dalek, because a Dalek is actually a device that allows this creature inside to be able to move around.
Or the Cybermen, right? Cybermen are out.
Yeah. Dalek is a mobile suit, actually, like a Gundam, really.
Mm. Rats, there go a couple of my top ones then. But yeah, the actor who was inside the robot that David was talking about in the episode of Doctor Who Robot, he was an incredibly tall person and he had troubles with his height as well. But he was great to play this huge robot, that's for sure.
Now, if you want to talk really tall people playing a robot, Gort from The Day the Earth Stood Still, played by Locke Martin, who I think was 7'8", if I remember correctly. He was the doorman at a hotel and was spotted because of his great height and hired to go inside what was actually a foam rubber suit for Gort the robot. But yes, tall people or interesting body shape people, differentially abled people as robots. Amongst my favorites, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, the three drones from the film Silent Running, all of whom were played by double amputees, people who had lost both legs.
Going back to the cyborg question, what I find interesting there, although we are talking robots, is that when, if you are in fact a cyborg, when do you become a robot? How much of you has to be replaced? And how much do you need to retain in order to be sort of human? Because, I mean, this is one of the things that I found quite interesting in RoboCop, the 80s original, and then RoboCop, the remake, whereas in the 80s original, Peter Weller, like when he takes off the helmet, and like he still looks kind of human, and you get the sense that he's still somewhat human. But then in the remake with, it's the guy from that serial killer series, they show him looking at himself in the mirror and he's basically just like brain and I think some lungs. So, and then he seems much less human, of course. So that's that question is cyborg robot. When do you draw the line? If you get an artificial brain, is that it?
Right. I think these are all great questions, you know, that fall within the genre anyway. So I think it's great to discuss them. And I was even thinking, if we're not doing cyborg with the relaunch of BSG, I mean, aren't those Cylons organic beings? Anyway, so I'm a little bit even like wondering about my Cylons, my modern Cylons, if they do actually fit the brief.
Yeah, I think they would.
What about the? Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, in the episode of Doctor Who, Let's Kill Hitler, like, I love the robot that has the people inside it, but it, would you consider that just a ship, or is that a robot? Because it seems to be mostly independent of the people steering it. It seems to react like a person. So how would you qualify that one? Because that's one of my favorites.
David, what do you think?
I would count it if it has the ability to do things itself, and it can just also carry people in it. There's a difference between things like that suit of art, the thing that Ripley uses in Aliens to fight the main alien creature. Is that
an exoskeleton? You know, it's called.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So something like that is more of a machine that enables you to be able to be stronger, do things, as opposed to itself being a robot, I would think.
So it has to have its own sentience in order to do that. Here's a question, and this is sort of a bizarro segue, but for the Clive Barker fans, you'll know this. One of my favorite short stories of all time, Clive Barker's story, In the Hills, the Cities, where they build basically like a giant robot, but they build it out of people, and it's mental. It's and so you have the people with the best eyesight who form the eyes of the robot. So it is like this giant kaiju kind of thing. And then the giant robots, like the people of one town and people of another town, then fight each other, but they're flesh robots. So, but they are built of parts in a sense. So are they robots? I don't know. But I throw that out there simply because they're enormous, and that's one of the greatest short stories I've ever read, and it's completely cuckoo pants. Very enjoyable.
All right, so we're doing our top 10 robots, and okay, so far I've had the robot from the Doctor Who episode and Rami. I'll do my 8 and 7, then you can do your 8 and 7.
Sounds good.
My eight is Nomad from the Star Trek classic. I just watched it again, and that's still that's quite a powerful, you know, it's pound for pound the greatest robot ever. You know, that's whenever they refer to pound for pound when it comes to a fighter, you know, that's a small fighter. But anyway, so Nomad is great. And Marvin, the paranoid android from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I picked as my number 7.
Okay, then.
Either version of Marvin?
From Hitchhikers, yeah.
Movie versus TV show.
Versus radio versus book.
Yeah, I would probably go with the book, but I think you're right, there are different versions and very different ways that they've taken it, for sure.
I thought Alan Rickman added a lot to the movie version.
Yes.
Well, I feel like I need a disclaimer before I go much further, because my first five are definitely in sort of like a category of what you might call juvenilia. Most of these things are things that I saw when I was really young and made an impression, although I wasn't that young when I saw this one. But number 8 for me was Tweaky from Buck Rogers in the 25th century.
No kidding.
Bitty, bitty, bitty. I got it. Exactly.
What does BT BT?
Gotta love a wisecracking sidekick.
God, that totally brought it all back. Ah.
Yeah, voiced by Mel Blanc. And once you know it's Mel Blanc, you kind of love it even more. Of Looney Tune fame, while Felix Silla was inside of Tweaky. And Silla had a massive filmography, especially in genre, but it ran as early as like Bonanza and up to and beyond Batman Returns. That's my number 8 is Tweaky. And number 7, I wanted to get more actual dates as to when this ran, but from Rocket Ship 7 from Buffalo, New York, Channel 7 with Dave Thomas, Promo the Robot. Promo was one of those robots that for me just you know, made them endearing and not scary. And so as a little kid, I had to get Promo onto my list because it, again, this would not be on an objective list of the top 10 best ever, but on my top 10, he's there at number 7.
I loved Promo the Robot. No question about that.
And I believe there were a couple versions of him, right?
Yes, there absolutely were.
Yeah, and did he have another persona as a sports reporter called Biff Beeper or something like that, where they just put a fedora on top of his head and they gave him a notepad? I think this happened, but I'm not sure.
The sound, the name Biff Beeper sounds strangely familiar.
Dave, what do you have for 6 and 5?
For 6, I've got Gort.
Batu, Barada, Nikto.
Yeah, which has been parried, and they've had a bit of fun with that, even in the Evil Dead franchise. And Wally as number 5. It was a film that I'd never seen. And then about, you know, it's, you know, 10 months, a year ago, Alexa said, "You've got to see this." So I watched it with her. And it was a very good film. I was surprised at how good it was. Troy, what do you got?
At number 6, I have Jaime the Robot from Get Smart, who debuted season 1, episode 19, and he was played by the great Dick Gauthier. And that would have been 1966. And yeah, loved Jaime. And a little later on in the 70s, there was a show called Holmes and Yo-Yo, which I felt was like they almost like couldn't get the rights to Jaime. But I also enjoyed that show. But Jaime is my number 6. And at number 5, I get Sirius finally. And I have from Metropolis, the Machina Human, the Dark Maria, also referred to as Parody and Futura, played by Brigitte Helm, which is the doppelganger to the heroine Maria. And I mean, really, like on film, sort of the starting point for it all. And I still can't really see C-3PO without seeing the Metropolis robot. Anyway, that's my 6 and 5. Okay, what say you all?
I was going to say I can't remember the name offhand right now, but I look at Jaime as the predecessor in almost all ways to the deputy on Eureka. I can't remember his name, though.
Yeah.
All the way to the actor's similar sort of look, the actual actor they chose. But the two of them seem like they're distant cousins or something. I wish I could remember the name right now. I'm caught off guard with that one.
The film version of Get Smart wasn't as good as the show, but one of my main disappointments in the fact that it wasn't good enough, it didn't get a big enough audience to get a sequel, was because in the last 2 minutes they introduced Jaime. And having a whole film with Jaime in it, I think, would have been a gas. It would have been a lot of fun.
Sorry, Robert, did you
have follow
something?
My logic here?
Yes, yes.
Where is Steve Austin and where are Steve Austin and Jamie Summers from? They're from Ojai, California.
Right.
How is Ojai spelled? O-J-A-I. That means J-A-I is pronounced hi. What is Jamie Summers' first name? And how is it spelled? It's spelled J-A-I-M-E. It's not J-A-M-I-E.
Right.
J-A-I-M-E.
Right.
Therefore, her first name really is Jaime. Therefore, the bionic woman is, in fact, the spinoff from Get Smart, featuring the Jaime character. Q-E-D, my friends.
Yes.
Q-E-D.
Yes. Well done.
Okay, you sold me on this, Rob.
My brain is blown. Bye.
I can't argue with that logic.
Wait.
Oh, sorry.
Jerome, jump in.
I wanted to ask a question because you've not matched on any of yours. So you've gotten through 5 without any cross pollination or cross posting. And I'm just wondering, what is your criteria that you're looking for in a great robot? It may be very different. So I'm just interested in finding that out.
I just picked robots that spoke to me, that meant something to me. Plus I just whipped this thing off. So to be honest, but just kidding. That may have come out wrong.
I remember.
Yeah.
Yes. You'll see some, and we've done this before. Sometimes we've agreed on a list and we present one that we've agreed on. Sometimes we present them separately. You're going to see some overlap very soon.
We think, I know that I have one that you've already done. For me, Jerome, I brainstormed sort of a master list. And I'd be thinking that if they're coming to my mind, first of all, they are probably the ones that have some meaning for me. And then as I was doing it, I started to go through things that I knew were, you know, culturally important to the genre. And then I went back to it. And it's like almost like a Sophie's Choice thing. Which one really is more important to me? So that's how, like, you know, Jaime ended up on the list. It's like, how do I not have Jaime? So I think that answers it pretty much.
Very fascinating to see your process, both of you.
Yeah. And again, we, like, you know, like I threw in a whole $6 million man bionic woman thing for one answer, which is kind of cheating. And I do the same in my, I guess, with my next one. Do you want me to do number four?
Yeah, David? Yes, please.
So I have this out of the way. I have as a tie, Mecha Godzilla and Mecha Kong.
Mm.
And had Mecha Godzilla come first, I would have probably just gone with him, but Mecha Kong came out in 66 and Mechagodzilla was 74. And I just felt I couldn't go with one without the other. And I have no notes at all on that because really it's just like, it speaks for itself. It's like, it's Mechagodzilla. I mean, come on. How could he not be on the list? So that's my four. And my number three, I felt, after I'd done the list, I made one change and this was number three. Because I felt she really did need to be there. And that's Dolores from Westworld. I really love that series, especially season one, and Evan Rachel Ward's performance as Dolores really spoke to me. And we just did a show with Jerome on religion, and we could clearly have gotten into Westworld because it answers or it addresses a lot of questions that are sort of pertinent to our existence. And of course, all robot stories do. Anyway, so yeah, I just wanted to get Dolores in there, and I need to do a rewatch of Westworld, especially season one, real soon. Dave, you have your four and three?
Yeah, that was, I think it's Evan Rachel Wood.
Oh, sorry, yes, Wood. Yes, I wrote Wood, but I said Ward.
Yeah, and that's a series I really loved. I think I saw the first season and possibly the first two. Really, really good series. I have The Terminator as number four, and the robot from Metropolis, which I have here as Futura, okay, but also known as the other names that you had mentioned as my three. If we want to just finish off our list so we don't have to worry about it, Robbie the Robot and the robot from Lost in Space, Gunter, which I think some people may remember the acronym for that. I think Rob probably has it memorized.
General Utility, Non-Theorizing Environmental Robot. The name is only seen spelled out as an acronym in one episode, a flashback that shows the packing crate the robot came in, and the letters G-U-N-T-E-R are highlighted in red. However, Robert Kinoshita, who built the robot, said his name was Claude because he had those claws.
Are we talking about the robot Claude from Lost in Space?
Lost in Space.
Yep.
What I always had heard B9. Or is that
B9 is a model number. That is not a name. Yeah. He says, I am an environmental control robot model B9. But we're diving deep here, Chris. B9 is simply
mentioned in one episode. I've only ever heard robot B9.
As his model number.
Well,
yeah. Wow, and Gunter is never said on screen. You have to read it on the packing crate. And as I say, Kinoshita called him Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, but because he had the two claws.
He's benign. He's easy he's and benign. Good. And
oh yeah. My God! How did I miss that?
That's awesome.
Okay.
We miss K-9 from Doctor Who as well. But Troy, we got your top two as well. Which are
okay? So my number two, David, is actually number six. If that makes any sense to you. But yeah,
I was really number one if you watch The Prisoner.
That's right. Oh my God, Robert, you just, I was going to go back to the prisoner in a second, because I wanted to ask, is I forget the name, I used to know, but the ball.
Rover.
Is Rover a robot?
It's a weather balloon. Right. Yes, I would say it's an autonomous AI. Sure. Why
okay.
not?
Okay. Anyway, because it just occurred to me. So, yes, I was going back to the prisoner there. Anyway, so, right. So I had number six from BSG, a Cylon played by Tricia Helfer. Cylons first appeared in the 1978 version of Glenn Larson's Battlestar Galactica. The original incarnation looked like shiny metallic versions of Darth Vader, but the 2003 reboot gave us Cylons that look human. And in the case of Tricia Helfer, number six, very human. In early episodes of the reboot, we are left wondering if she is a god, a hallucination, a terrorist, or all of the above. And again, along with most elements of BSG, it was hard for me like not to include her high up on this list. So I had, yeah, Tricia Helfer as number six at number two. And for me, in terms of my favorite, I was going to say Martian, my favorite android robot is Marvin the Paranoid Android from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And I guess to answer, I think, Chris's question, I love Alan Rickman as Marvin. His first appearance, I guess, was the 78 radio comedy. Would that be right, Ira? Yeah, sounds right to you. Yeah, I figured you would know.
You're muted, Ira. Sorry, but yeah, the character started out as a radio drama or radio program.
That's correct.
Ah, yeah. And for me, life. I thought Marvin.
Don't
is,
talk to me about life.
Yes, I thought Marvin is perhaps the most human of all of the androids. Marvin is filled with self-doubt, self-loathing, and is more lovable than most humans you'll ever encounter. So that's what made him my number one. Again, thoughts, guys.
Well, there's also deep thought in Hitchhiker's Guide as well, which takes an awfully long time to come up with an answer, but it's usually brilliant.
Yeah, we always thought
of. I got a second Marvin. Marvin would have been my first choice too. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think I would have probably gone with number six from BSG would have been up there for sure, because I did love the reboot of that show. I was also thinking of the ridiculous dog from the original Battlestar.
The Daggett.
Oh, yes. The Daggett. Oh, my God. Which they put a monkey into that suit, which kills me that they that was the thing that could happen back then.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah.
It's actually a chimpanzee.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Thank you. Yeah. And who else would? Yes. Thank you for that clarification, Robert.
I like the synthetics from the Aliens movies. And, you know, even like I liked Alien Resurrection and Winona Ryder as the android in that, because, you know, she does look robotic and wooden, and this really kind of for her finally. And then the Nazi scientist mechanical man in Hellboy, just because of how astonishingly he moves. And like, I don't know who the actor was doing it, who clearly was very bendy.
Yeah.
I love it. But none of these are really giant robots per se, but you know, I would, I love, of course, Westworld and the things that made me, do you remember this absolutely dreadful show called Man and Machine called MANN? Was starring Yancey Butler as Eve. You know, it's like she's a robot, but also a cop. It's like, right. It did not last long. And again, Yancey Butler being one of those quite beautiful but completely wooden actresses, you know, robot. Perfect. Perfect.
Wow. I remember that. That was like scary because it was not good. Yes.
Well, they should have put it in a time slot with Manimal. Manimal.
I was just about to say Manimal.
Yeah.
Simon McCorkindale.
I love that show. I mean, it was not good, but I loved it.
Jerome, you had something there?
I have a question. Is the doctor from Voyager counted as a robot? He has a physical form when the force fields are in place. and he's completely mechanical, and he can be reprogrammed, which is what's so scary about him. But I think he has a wonderful arc, and I see him. I don't see him as a robot, but I'm wondering if he fits a definition.
I would think so. No, I have no. I'm seeing head shakes though. Robert and Ira.
Well,
anybody else?
No, I would categorize him as an artificial intelligence, perhaps, but because he's not physically embodied,
right?
He isn't strictly speaking a robot.
But he is. I mean, he's physically. He's able to touch people. He's the doctor, and people are able to. I mean, he's physically there when he needs to be, but then he can, you know, become physically when he doesn't need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's obviously an edge case.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a mechanical body, doesn't have an electronic body. It's a hologram with micro manipulated force fields surrounding it that gives it an illusion of physicality. But then the illusion of physicality is the exact same technology as on the holodeck that gives, you know, appearance of physical form, you know, that you can bump into or pick up for the things that are simply projections on the holodeck too. So is the holodeck a robot then? No, it obviously isn't. It's not mobile. It's just an edge case. I mean,
I don't know if this ties into the data thing, but one thing, like one character, a robot character I didn't mention was the major from Ghost in the Shell. If that counts. And one of the things that explores so well is the idea of identity is, am I really a person? And so if you have someone who's a mechanical person going, what am I? You know, am I something with agency, or am I just my programming? Right. You know, and in Ghost in the Shell, you have people that suddenly are programmed with memories, you know, and they don't know.
I guess like kind of the replicants from,
in Blade Runner too. Yeah.
Does anybody want to throw in their, a favorite before, we get to
the Tin Man.
Chris, what was that?
I'd like to add something that hasn't been touched on so far. I've been waiting for it. I'm a fan of the unique and the obscure and things like that, and design, being a frustrated designer and engineer. A robot creature thing that has always impressed me since the first time I saw it was Proteus from the movie Demon Seed.
All those
is one of the most unique things ever, with its ability to change shape and add tools and become different things. I've never seen a creation like that. Proteus is just unique unto everything,
and so terrifying.
Yes.
Well, I'll run down quickly my list here before we get into David's trivia. And we have touched on some of these, but these are just some of the ones that I included from my brainstorm. So we did say Data. I have David, the AI from AI by Kubrick/Spielberg. Conky 2000 from Pee-wee's Playhouse, from 86 to 1990. The Iron Giant. We did touch on Gort, which, you know, how do you not touch on Gort? Of course, C-3PO and R2-D2, Gigantor, which I almost made my list, but there's not enough there. And from the comics, Brainiac, Vision, and Red Tornado, all three that I was sort of fascinated by as a kid. David, I think you must have mentioned Terminator, right? The T-800?
Not the T-1000, which I should have.
Right, and the we did touch on Roy, all of the replicants, but I had Roy Batty, Rachel, and Pris. Ava from Ex Machina, Bender from Futurama,
yes.
Seven of Nine, the MST-3000 robots, Tom Servo, Crow T Robot, and GPC. Dot Matrix, there you go, Dan. Dot Matrix from Spaceballs. And this one almost made my list because I love this character, and it's such a tiny little bit of the overall storyline. But Minsky from Fargo, season 3. I don't know if anybody else, does this ring a bell with anybody? It's an animated segment of Fargo. Somebody's writing a story, and it's about this robot called Minsky. And when they go into this character's brain, they animate it. And all Minsky can say is, I can help. I can help. I can help. And Minsky sees the entire evolution of, I think, our universe. And these beings find Minsky. They thank her for being a witness to everything, because now they have access to all of our records of history, and they let Minsky go, basically. Minsky is relieved at the end, and it's beautiful. Like, you will weep when you see it, but you can find the animated segments put together in a 5-minute little package on YouTube. Check it out, because I think you'll all love it. So that was my last one, Minsky from Fargo season 3.
Can I do one that I'm kind of shocked that nobody mentions? So one of the pleasures of reading reading robots as opposed to watching them on TV is like Martha Wells' Murderbot, because putting yourself into that perspective is fantastic, watching this poor robot figure out that it's a murderer and then have to solve the crime and everything.
David, I think we are ready to play Who's That Robot?
So let's do it. This is an example of how the questions are set up. There's a quote and then 4 selections. You choose which one you think is right, and you have 15 seconds. Some of these you might only need 10 seconds or less to select. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the first one. The first decade is from 2010 up until 2023. Question 1. There are things you can't fight, acts of God. You see a hurricane coming, you have to get out of the way. But when you're in a Jaeger, suddenly you can fight the hurricane, you can win. So the options are Pacific Rim, The Creator, The Avengers, or Real Steel. I'll give you 10 seconds for this.
Got it.
Okay, I think that was a fairly simple one. If people want, I can, instead of scoring at the end, I can mention that the answer is Pacific Rim A. So anyone that had picked that, just make yourself a note that you have one right. If you didn't get that, better luck on the next question, which is coming up right now. The places that will let you fight this robot will make you pee your little pants. That's again the same options: Pacific Rim, The Creator, The Avengers, or Real Steel. I'll give you probably 10 seconds for this. Okay, that probably is enough time.
Buzzer bang.
It's just guess. This is Real Steel. Yay! So the answer is D as in David.
I wrote it. I really did.
And next one. I've left off the character names because it would give it away. But one character says, big man in a suit of armor. Take that off. What are you? And the person who responds says, genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist. Okay. So you have to guess. Is that Pacific Rim, Creator, Avengers, or Real Steel? And you have 5 seconds for this one.
Now, I'm assuming you're allowing for the possibility that the same movie could be in play twice, right?
I don't want to give anything away.
No, but if you don't, then we're just limiting, like, we're okay.
I don't want to give anything away.
All right, okay. Fair enough.
So the answer to this is The Avengers. And the final one for this.
Wow, I'm going to get it.
For this decade, for this 2010 to 2023, my best friends are software. Do you have to guess? Is that Pacific Rim, The Creator, The Avengers, or Real Steel? I'll give you 10 seconds on that one.
No Googling if you're playing at home.
Yeah, no cheating. Okay, so that's probably enough time. And that happens to be The Creator. I haven't seen that film yet, but I am planning on it at some point. So those are 4 questions for that decade. And we move on to the next decade. And you may notice that in some cases, I may have had an answer for each one, but that could change.
Okay. Well, how many decades do we have?
We have a few because we've got 20 questions. So it's
okay, there we go. Five.
So okay. The last one will be the 70s.
Okay, bring it.
And then at the very end, we'll add up. And whoever has the most, if there's a couple of people with the same, I have one or two tiebreakers. That'll be very quick. So this is the decade of the 2000s. Human beings have dreams. Even dogs have dreams, but not you. You are just a machine. Is that Star Trek Nemesis, Transformers, iRobot, or Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow? You have, I'll give you 15 seconds on this one.
Okay.
And that's pretty close to 15 seconds. So the answer to that one is iRobot, which is C. Next one, question six. Message from Starfleet, Captain. Throughout the inanimate vastness of space, and angels will rain down like visitors from heaven. Hallelujah. Is that Star Trek Nemesis, Transformers, iRobot, or Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow? And that's about 15 seconds, so you just have to guess at this point if you haven't selected. The answer to this is Transformers B. Next up, I will always be puzzled by the human predilection for piloting vehicles at unsafe velocities. Is that Star Trek Nemesis, Transformers, iRobot, or Sky Captain? And that should be enough time. That one is Star Trek Nemesis. Next one. You honestly think you're gonna find something more important than every single creature on Earth being led two by two inside a giant rocket ship? So the options are Star Trek Nemesis, Transformers, iRobot, or Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow. And that should be enough time for people. Otherwise, just take a shot. The answer is D, Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow. We're running along here nice and fast. I'm very happy with fewer selections and fewer questions. This one is the first one of the 1990s. Never send a human to do a machine's job. Is that Universal Soldier, Ghost in the Shell, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, or The Matrix? I'll give you 15 seconds.
Need to find a little Muzak to throw in between these.
Yeah, we could find something, maybe something very mechanical or robot-like. So what we have for this one is The Matrix. This one, question 10, it's second of four for the 1990s. Project 2501 says, as a sentient life form, I hereby demand political asylum. Section 9 Department Chief Aramaki responds, is this a joke? Is that Universal Soldier, Ghost in the Shell, Terminator 2 Judgment Day, or The Matrix? And I think that's enough time. For those who pick Ghost in the Shell B, you are correct. Third question of the 1990s. Do you really think for 1 second those wimps at the Pentagon would allow the regeneration of dead soldiers, American soldiers? Is that Universal Soldier, Ghost in the Shell, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, or The Matrix?
Bondi.
Okay. That's enough time. The answer is A, Universal Soldier. The final question for the 1990s. He supplied, so this is actually not the film, this is the person. He supplied the voice to the Iron Giant in the 1999 film. Is this, it should be James. Obviously, I've spelt that incorrectly by some. M is too close to N. James Earl Jones is A. B is Kurt Russell. C is Harry Connick Jr. And D is Vin Diesel. Got 10 seconds.
What an interesting question.
All right, and that's time. If you haven't guessed already, just take a random guess. And the answer is Vin Diesel.
Ooh.
Oh. And for the 1980s, first question, Dead or Alive, You're Coming With Me. Is that RoboCop, Short Circuit, Blade Runner, or The Terminator? That should be enough time. The answer is A, RoboCop. Second question. Hey, I think this guy's a couple cans short of a six-pack. Is that A, RoboCop, B, Short Circuit, C, Blade Runner, or D, The Terminator? Okay, that should be enough time. The answer is D as in David, The Terminator. The third question for the 1980s. You were made as well as we could make you. Is that A, RoboCop, B, Short Circuit, C, Blade Runner, or D, The Terminator? And that should be enough time. That is C, Blade Runner. Okay. The final question of the 1980s. Hey, Laser Lips, your mama was a snowblower. Is that A, RoboCop, B, Short Circuit, C, Blade Runner, or D, The Terminator? And that should be enough time. That's from the movie Short Circuit, which the answer was B. And the final decade. And I do like how quickly this is going. First question of the 1970s. We seem to be made to suffer. It's our lot in life. Is that A, Westworld, B, Silent Running, C, Alien, or D, Star Wars? Okay, and that should be enough time if anyone wants to just guess, but that one is Star Wars, D. Second question. It's a robot. Ash is a goddamn robot. Is that A, Westworld, B, Silent Running, C, Alien, or D, Star Wars?
Sounds like it could be the Evil Dead, too.
I was thinking the same.
Yeah.
Do you mean Evil Dead or the Evil Dead 2? It's just kind of T-O-O or T-W. Okay, so the answer to this one is C, Alien. Spoiler alert, I should have said before that one. All right. And Huey, I thought I told you to stay in the forest. is that A, Westworld, B, Silent Running, C, Alien, or D, Star Wars? And that should be enough time. That is B as in boy, Silent Running. Or B as in Babelfish, I guess. Or Babelfish. Final question for tonight. This is the last question. Anything after this, we'll add up our scores and then see if there's a tie. And I've got a couple tiebreakers. So this is the last question. There is no more beauty and there's no more imagination. And there are no frontiers left to conquer. Is that A, Westworld, B, Silent Running, C, Alien, or D, Star Wars? All right. So that should be enough time. This is it. So the answer, as I repeated on that one, it's B as in Babelfish. It is Silent Running. I picked two Silent Runnings in that just to throw people off.
You devil.
And is there anyone out there who actually got 20 out of 20? Just speak up. So with no one who had 20, is anyone at 19? Well, I didn't think that this was that difficult, but I guess it's enough varied stuff and it's complicated enough that there's no one with 19. But is there anyone with 18?
I got 18.
Anyone else with 18? Because I'd love to do a tiebreaker. If
winner,
not, I think
Daniel.
Stephen is our man, Stephen Humphrey. So we've got 18 of them.
Bravo.
May I ask which two you didn't get?
Well, you did throw me off with the Transformers one, and then the last one, the second Silent Running quote. I missed those.
Well done, sir.
Yeah, the tiebreakers would have been a bit fun because basically there was this list saying the best 17 robot movies of all time, and you would have had to have guessed which one. This list has, without of course Googling, you just have to sort of guess. And I believe its answer was the Terminator. Final one was more fun. And this
not Robot Monster? Cool. Robot Monster, come on.
Now this one, I don't know if Rob would have got this, because this is a very cool question. The tiebreaker too was Daisy Bell was composed by Harry, I don't know if that's Dockery or Docker, in 1892. In what year did the IBM 7094 become the first computer to singing the song Daisy Bell? Was it 61, 63, 65, or 1967? And that's a tough one.
I go 1963.
Okay, so the answer they had was 1961.
A guess, all right. I was wrong.
Yeah. let me stop the share. But that was a fun, that worked out very well, because I'm glad I shortened the questions that had you were per, because that just made it move a bit quicker. So let me stop my share.
And thanks for everyone for playing. Yeah.
All right. Happy holidays, everybody.
All right, guys.
Yeah, thanks a lot for doing this so much. Bye. As always, it's such a pleasure.
Thank you for inviting us.
This was fun. Thank you.
I enjoyed this immensely, and I will certainly be back again.
Thanks a lot.
Nice to see you, Chris.
Merry,
take
everyone.
Care.
Have a great 2024, folks.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Yeah. Bye. Bye, everybody. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye-bye. No, I'm not sure what we're doing.
We're cleaning up. We're cleaning up the apartment now that everybody's leaving, David. You know, we're left with that type of thing.
The people that won't leave.
Wow, that was something, Dave.
It was nice seeing all the people. We had like 13 or 14 people at this, which was great.
Yeah, and thanks for putting the work into the trivia contest. That was a good thing.
I think it worked out well because it does cover our things, because we do cover a lot of 70s and 80s stuff. It's got current stuff. I've shortened it, and I think it went fast enough that it worked out very well.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we've just done it, Dave. We have just done our last show of the calendar year.
Yeah, this is should be dropping December 30th, and then we're taking January off. We'll be back in February. So, but it's been a good. This is actually the seventh episode of this is the exact half. Wait, you know, some of those series they run half their episodes, and they have this nice break in the winter months, and then they come back like a mid-season break kind of thing. So this is our seventh episode. We got seven more planned from February up until May the 4th.
Aha. We want to thank everyone that has participated, not just the people that were here tonight, but all of you listening on the podcast for being here. This is our third actual, year of doing the show, which is hard to believe, but we're glad that you're all out there. Please keep coming back and let other people know about the show if you would be so kind to do that. Like and subscribe on all the different socials wherever you are picking us up. Do tell a friend if you can. Check us out definitely on Facebook, because that's where a lot of fun happens. And that is just as it sounds. It's Two Old Farts Talk Sci-Fi. No numbers in there, all words. And you can check us out on our website, 2of.ca. That's a numeric 2. And have yourself a great 2024, people. I hope you were able to get through 2023 okay. And Dave, anything you want to add?
It's been a great first half of season 5. Looking forward to the second half and having a nice break. And I bought a lot of eggnog. I have like three different types of eggnog that I'm going to be working through. And I enjoy all the fans and the people that listen to us. I think we have more than one listener now, which is kind of nice.
That's right. We're into the plural now.
Yes. Thanks a lot, Troy, for doing this series. It's a very much a shared thing that we work all this stuff together and we come up with things, and it's just a great collaboration. I do very much appreciate it.
And it's very much mutual, David. Thank you.
All right. So I am David Klink.
And I am Troy Harkin.
And thanks for all listening to Two Old Farts
Talk Sci-Fi.